happened to the other Marthas, the show where a drama student and a film graduate try to make sense of things we wish we were qualified in instead. A quick disclaimer before we get started, we do not claim to be experts in any of the topics we'll be talking about, so while everything that we say will be based on individual research, it's all a bit of fun and we suggest that you take everything we say with a pinch of salt. I'm Martha, I'm the drama student.
And I'm the other Martha, the film graduate.
So what are we doing today, Martha?
Today we are exposing our deepest secrets from the past.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. What we're doing is we're looking through some old writings of ours, some autobiographical, some not. I think I've chosen to reveal less of my childhood self than you have. You're doing diaries, aren't you?
Yes, well, so I was looking at some of my old writing, as in stories, and most of it was the beginning of a story about a boy named Flynn who had wings. And
sounds great.
The beginning of the story was always the same. He flies down on his massive, terrifying bird wings in the middle of like a forest camp
of course,
of a group of people and is all like, I'll save a baby from a burning tent. And then he saves the baby and his wings get burnt and the clan leader's like, you're a freak. And that's it. And I wrote it about 20 times just at the start of a notebook. That
I mean, it
scene,
sounds good once.
And nothing else.
That sounds like, I don't know if you remember, Martha, last summer, Martha and I were clearing out my giant cupboard of doom, which is now lovely. It was filled completely to the top with utter crap. A weird proportion of that crap was me writing about a girl called Zoe Winters, just looking out of a window going, oh, I wish I were in the forest. That was it. And I found, when I was looking through my exercise books for this, a longer version of that, where Zoe Winters reveals trauma. She's being, like, bullied by her peers, she's walking around and everyone's like, you're such a freak, Zoe. And she runs away into the forest. And then something that I've learned I did a lot in my stories as a child, she loses consciousness and then is somewhere completely different, which I seem to have used as a device constantly.
Well, I also remember a lot of my early writing was I always wanted to be a child who grew up on a farm. That was my...
Me too!
Yeah, that
I
was my
dream. I think it's because I read a lot of Michael Morpurgo.
I wanted to be like a little farm child, so I would write like a diary as though I was a child who grew up on a farm. And I'd be like,
oh,
I
so
fed
sweet.
My chickens, I milked the cows. And I can't find the diary now. I remember writing that for quite a while, actually. And it was quite boring because farms are all about routine and then every now and then dealing with something.
Yeah, but
and
like, so I mean, nowadays we all play Animal Crossing and love it, and it's just like, oh, what if I owned a property and had to pay back the mortgage on it, you know?
Yeah, well, to be fair, that is a dream for everyone because no one can afford to buy property.
So Martha, what kind of thing are you starting with?
I have a little pamphlet here. I'm holding it so Martha can see. It's about 4 pages long and it's called The Story of My Life.
Amazing.
On the back it says, find all about me. And then it's a little drawing of me wearing high-heeled boots and a skirt.
Have you ever worn that combination in your life?
The first year at university I had some brown, slightly heeled knee-high boots with a denim skirt. I tried it on, I looked in the mirror and I went,
no,
I'm not this person.
Yeah.
And then I took them off. But anyway, so in my little pamphlet, I have just one sentence I want to read to you. It's sort of an odd little book about a couple of my first ever memories.
Oh yeah.
The colour of my bedroom. Me bedroom's colour is off my room, is white and purple.
Hold on, how old were you at this point?
I have no idea.
Because I was going to say, I've got like my year 5 and 6 exercise books. And I have to say, I come off as an absolute tit, but quite an intelligent one. So I'm used to reading, you know, coherent sentences. And you're like, my colour of me wall is...
No, I would say I was probably in year 2 when I did this. Because I've written... This is the sentence I want to share. It's the only sentence I wrote in pen, so I was very confident about it. There are 5 people in my house with me because my dog acts like my brother. He steals things from my room. And then there's a little drawing of my dog, Ned, who we've had on the podcast. stealing a bear from my room.
Oh, it's an impressive drawing, I have to say.
So that's my first tale that I want to share with
Brilliant.
You.
Can I lead on from that? Because my first thing is also an autobiography, as I've called it.
Yes.
Mine's considerably more eloquent, which is not a good thing. So this, I wrote this on Wednesday.
The shade that you're throwing at year two, Martha.
This isn't year two. Well, you're year two, Martha.
Me, I'm year two, Martha.
Yeah, but you were in year two, it's fine. We have the same name, yeah, but the centre of our podcast.
I forget we share a name. I called you Marthy earlier and my mum was like, oh, is that her name? And I was like, yes, it's my name too. You picked it.
Amazing. So this is something I wrote apparently on Wednesday, the 10th of September 2008. I think I was 10. My objective's been to write an autobiography. Events written in time order, first person narrative, and interesting vocabulary. Now I would argue that I've done those things, but I also sound like an 18th century gentleman, and I'm so self-assured. So I begin thus. When I was introduced to the world on January 22nd, 1998, I was 7 pounds and 3 ounces in weight, and all I wanted to do at first was to eat and sleep. Now, I want to kind of intercede here to say I have no idea how heavy I was as a baby, because my parents didn't write anything down. They don't know what my first words were. So I'm making this up.
I love that this is all lies.
I know. I picked up words like mama, papa, and bana, brackets. When I was little, I positively adored bananas, but could never say them right. My two-year-old sister, Natasha, hated bananas intensely, which I could never understand. And then I go on to say something which is true, but I just didn't need to say it. I say, when I was 21 months old, I could recite nursery rhymes, which I've misspelled, which I think is hilarious, from my little book, and I grew to love reading. I say books were always my general holiday occupation.
Holiday occupation.
I know, I literally write like a fairly poorly spoken 18th century gentleman. I say that Lanzarote, which I think I went to once when I was about one, had at least 500 gorse bushes on each cliff. Which again is, I think I'm thinking of Cornwall, and I've superimposed that. But there we are. I've commented as well on Morocco, another holiday destination in my childhood. I say Morocco was enormous country in, and I've said south, and it's crossed out, and then the teacher's gone north, Africa, and it was all made up of horse and cart rides, camels, beaches, mountains, spice, tagine pots, and beautifully coloured tiles. It was very new to me, and I found even the palm trees fascinating. I'm so enthusiastic. This is one of my favourite bits. I say, when I was 4, my mum decided that it was time for me to start learning a musical instrument. My sister, now aged 6, was already learning the violin, and my mum wanted me to learn the cello. I flatly refused, saying I would learn the cello after I had covered violin. Which is true. I didn't learn the cello. I just copied my sister.
Well, you have yet to fully cover violin.
Quite. I think I was optimistic about how quick I would be to cover violin. And I talk about, we used to visit my mum's friend Aniko in Hungary when I was little, and we'd speak German over there, and we'd go to do a little music course. And I say we speak German. We spoke very broken German. Martha can attest, like, I was decent at German at school.
You're better at German than I was.
Yeah.
Anyone was.
Yeah, I was good at German. Because I was quite good at learning it at school, I was not great at German before I started learning it. But apparently, 10-year-old me thought otherwise. I say, we would go on a 2-week music course where everyone was German. We were a bit uncomfortable at first, but were soon chatting away in broken German, fine, miming when there was a word we didn't know. Our mum sprang up a strong friendship between her and Aniko, the holder of the course, who were always sad to leave. And then I say, I was soon fluent in my German. And look forward to each visit to Hungary with rapture.
With rapture.
I'm really getting that vocab. Now, this is where I start getting just utterly insufferable. I start a new paragraph and I say, I'd recently started getting school homework, which was a privilege that I really enjoyed. I want to punch 10-year-old me in the head. When I was in the infants, I loved school, including any homework I was set. And I end this account saying, soon came the palaver of getting into junior school. But we never know what that palaver was going to be, because I guess I ran out of time. That's my autobiography.
So this is some drama from Friday the 1st of December 2006.
Oh.
So I was 8. Top secret. First of Advent.
Oh, you make it sound like Advent was a secret that year.
I know.
Like, top secret. First of Advent, nobody must know.
Also, I wrote this entry to my diary once in a lighter press of my pen, and then I've later gone over it, pushing slightly harder. I don't know why.
That's very sweet.
I played Dead with Susan, Laura, Daisy. I will say I've changed the names of the people in these diaries.
I was just wondering why they sounded out of an Enid Blyton novel.
I mean,
Daisy, Laura.
I've chosen names similar in feel.
Oh, wow.
To the names of my friends. We played Second World War.
Oh my God.
I know.
It's not what I thought Daisy and Susan were playing.
We were playing. I will say also, Laura is Laura H, because there were two girls with
not called Laura.
They're the same name, so I've given them the same name.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think our Second World War game wasn't, I mean, it could have been us in the trenches, but I think it probably was, oh no, a telegram,
like, oh no,
and being like land girls and things, not being soldiers. I went round Polly's house. Polly was my best friend as a child, and she mistreated me greatly.
Oh, I know who this is.
She read out her diary that she said was what she wrote when she was younger, but I think she wrote it a few days ago. Drama.
Conspiracy theories.
I started young. It said she thought I was bossy, but the truth is, I think she is bossy. I think we'd had an argument. She had written this diary
and gone, oh, look, I guess ages ago I thought you were bossy.
Yeah, and she said, like, in reception I thought you were bossy, and I was like, well, the trough is, let me tell you my trough.
Phrase in common knowledge.
maybe we should start it. Tell me the trough now.
That'll be instead of, so Martha, what are we talking about today? From now on it's gonna be, and Martha, what is thy trough?
I'd like that. I have 5 diaries here. The first one that I'm currently reading from is Black, with a woman doing the classic, like, Marilyn Monroe, my skirt's
That's
blowing
really
up.
That's really quite odd.
Thing. I know. And then it says, uh-oh, with me, with the wind on the front of it. I know. And it had little clasps to padlock my diary.
I love those.
The problem with me and any form of locking a diary is that I would immediately lose the keys, cry, and then take it to my brother to open, which can it just defeats the point of having a lock on your diary if your brother's the only one that can open it.
Right. I used to have those ones where it would be like a little wedge and you're supposed to put a key into the wedge and turn it, but actually you can do it with a coin or your nail or literally anything thin. But I still like them because it meant when you inevitably lose the key, it still feels vaguely secret.
Wednesday, November 2007. No date. Dear diary, because it's Wednesday, I am moving.
Sure.
I was ill and had to stay with Granny and Grandy's house.
Stay with the house. Martha, you stay with the house. Make sure it doesn't go anywhere.
I know. So I could get better. When I got back to school this morning, before lunch, when I went into class, everyone was like, it's Martha, it's Martha. Now I'm sitting in my new room and the removal men are dumping things in my room, Mum's room, and Joe's room. Joe's my brother, by the way. I should be trying to sleep. I hope this is after the removal men have left and not at the same time.
Should be trying to sleep, but the removal men keep dumping things on me.
But I just don't feel tried. I have read Mr. and Mrs. Pig's Night Out. And when I finish writing spelt like the Wright brothers, my diary, I will look for another book to read. Outside, it's very quiet. There is a traffic light that never seems to go amber or red. It just stays green. It probably 9:30-ish. I have just found a really annoying problem. Well, lots, actually. Number one.
Oh, God. Yeah, you do.
Yes, I do. Number one, the next door neighbours, spelt N-A-B-O-R-S.
I mean, as you would assume.
Yeah. Fon is right next to my bed on the other side of the wall. Of course, this wouldn't be so bad if they actually answered their phone.
Amazing.
Number two, I am in the front bedroom and there are lots of drunk teenagers walking past shouting.
I had a similar thing where, like, adults would go, oh, teenagers. And then you just have this idea of teenagers as being this criminal underground.
Yes.
And walk around drinking and smashing things.
Number three, my room is full of boxes. I'm just full of rage at this point. Number four, because of the broken traffic light, people speed past, which is true. I remember, and it wasn't broken, it was one of those traffic lights that only changes if someone presses the button.
I see, yeah.
Because it was a crossing.
Yeah.
And little me was full of rage because I thought every traffic light eventually turned red and so cars would whiz on by.
Yeah.
Which is like a very dramatic thing for a 9-year-old to be annoyed about.
I'm actually sort of impressed. I don't think I really had any concept of what the traffic lights meant to cars or anything like that. I just didn't think about it until I was probably about 12.
I had two very car obsessed parents though.
Ah.
So
yeah, whereas mine like would have walked everywhere if they could and fed them berries. Yeah.
So I so I learned, you know, a lot of things about cars as a youth.
Very cool.
And because I had tiny little hands, my dad would be like, hey Martha, just reach on into this engine and pick a screw out for me, and I'd be like, will I burn my hand, father?
Oh god. Ask the chimney sweep. No, son.
Number five. I am in the spa room. There was a desk.
What?
Screwed.
What? You had a spa room?
No, it was spare and I spelt it wrong.
I was going to say, I was like, wow, you were a posh kid. No, you just
no. No, to give an image of my room, how can I describe it? It fitted a single bed and I could walk into, you know, to get to the bed.
That was the size
of my room.
I get you.
Don't get me wrong.
Sounds like a spa room to me.
No. It also had a boiler in it. So that's fun. So to clarify, number five, I'm in the spare room. There was a desk screwed on the wall, which means there are lots of holes in the walls. Also, a mirror used to be up on the wall and there used to be a painting screwed on as well. I don't know how I knew this.
No.
Because we moved in, but I think I assumed, like, oh, well, there's loads of holes in the wall, so that's what this must be.
For some reason, I'm kind of getting Rebecca vibes. Like, the first Mrs. De Winter must have had a portrait here.
I will now probably find a book to read for a bit. Good night for now. And then I would sign all of my diary entries.
That's so cute.
Do you want to see my old signature?
Yeah, please. That is better than my current signature. It sort of looks like one of those loop-the-loop things that some kids had where you would, like, have a metal rod that you would try and go around it and not touch it and it would buzz if it did.
Yes,
that's what Martha's signature looks like to me. Would you like to hear about my persuasive writing spree in year five? Excellent. The target for Monday, 14th April 2008, was to use persuasive writing and to use language that gets you your own way. And I've begun it with, dear government, stop global warming.
Send this in.
I know, I say, everyone is talking about how global warming might destroy us in time, and I'm really worried about it. I know you're a very considerate person. Apparently, I thought the government was just the one person. And I'm sure you can help. The animals and birds will all disappear, and all because of us. All we have to do is use less electricity and gas, and then we'd all be thrilled. Everyone will be so disappointed if you can't help.
Everyone will be dead.
Yes, that's true. I talk about, like, energy-saving bulbs and stuff, which is quite boring, but I just enjoy that. And then on the next page, I've written a persuasive note to my mum, but it's not actually to my mum. It's like they've said, here we are, to persuade an adult to buy you a bike. I'm beginning, Dear Mum, as you know, Fitness Week starts on Monday, and I thought I'd give everyone a great big surprise by being fitter and healthier than anyone else in the class. Oh, what a lovely surprise if I was better than everyone! This persuasive argument culminated in a larger piece of writing, which I'm going to read to you now. This was an exam booklet. I think it was a practice SAT writing test, if anyone remembers those. The task was to write a persuasive piece to someone about improving a playground. So I just wrote to our headmaster about how bad I thought our playground was. Dear Mr. Civita, I'm writing to tell you about our school playground. Not that it's much to write about at the moment.
Oh my gosh, Martha.
I know, I get straight in there. We were told to use techniques. It has practically nothing on it except for a few benches and shrubs. I'm sure you'll agree with me that our playground needs changing, and my marvellous ideas are sure to go down a treat. The only tree that provides shade has a swing on it, but even that is rickety, old and broken. We could have a lovely new one that everyone will enjoy, and then people could fit onto it. Two people could fit onto it at once. That way, we could make new friends too. It's quite cute. Could your conscience cope with us keeping the swing we already have and one of us falling and maybe breaking bones? An area with grass would be brilliant, and so would a trampoline or a swimming pool. Both of these activities would strengthen our muscles and be great fun besides. A nature area would be fantastic too. What with an educational nature reserve, sports facilities and a swing, it would be sure to keep us out of mischief for hours, as well as making us strong, healthy and clever. In the nature reserve, we could have a quiet area, monkey bars, a pond and lots of trees and flowers. We could do some of the gardening ourselves, and some of us who got inspired could have our own patches to grow whatever we wanted. I say we should have a vegetable patch to help with the school dinners. So it's quite sweet, it's just I don't really understand the concept of budget. And I end it by saying, I'm sure you will agree, and we would all love it if we could all have all of these wonderful things. I think I'm really persuasive in that.
I remembered, whilst you were telling me your persuasive writing, I remembered a piece of writing I did. I think I must have been in year two again. And I wrote, we were learning about how to write instructions. And I wrote a set of instructions for a board game that I'd made, because we had to create a board game and then write instructions for how to play it. The instructions that I wrote were: set out the game, play the game, make sure you tidy up after yourselves or your mummy will get angry.
That's so sweet and also so useless.
It's so useless. So now I want to tell you about the main drama of my life at the time. So my friend Polly, as we've established, we had quite a rocky relationship.
Yeah.
And she came over to my house for a sleepover, and I had spent all of my pocket money on a treat for our sleepover, which was a massive Cadbury bar. It was the biggest one I'd ever seen. I don't know how to tell you the measurements of it, but it was so big.
I'm thinking about how to do that, and I would say it's roughly the size of like an adult cat.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Just the body, the tail's not included. So there's one diary entry about me and my family, we go to the shops. We had DVD night, a Simpsons night. It was really cool. And then, same sentence, I have neck ache and slap cheek. And then I go into the PS.
No, what the heck is slap cheek?
Slap cheek is, I don't know if it's a real thing. So your face gets really red.
Looks like you've been slapped.
So then the PS to this entry, I've written quite nastily put, PS, Polly is a pig because she stole all of my giant chocolate bar.
No.
This was how big it was. And then I'd drawn a tiny picture of it. She stole my chocolate bar.
Did she take it home with her or like eat it all at the time? Oh my God.
So I bought us this massive chocolate bar. We only had a little bit because we were two young children.
Yeah.
You can't eat that much chocolate. And the next morning, I was looking for my chocolate bar. And where is it? Lo and behold, she's put it in her suitcase and she's left with it.
That's despicable. Yeah.
So that was on, I think, the 24th of November.
You know what? I think adult me agrees that the child Polly is a pig.
So then, 25th of November, I get on with my day talking about my advent calendar, which is Ratatouille themed. So I played with my Polly wheels and tried the leg of a chicken. Why did I write it like that?
Barbaric.
And once again, once spelt WANCE. And once again, I will say this, Polly Smithton is a thief.
So dramatic.
So this is the next day and I'm still livid, which to me there was such a big chocolate bar. And
you'd still have had the chocolate bar the next day. You could be angry about it for as long as it
would. I would have had it for
you.
Months on end, yeah. Let me tell you. Tuesday, 27th of November. Dear Diary, today at Brack time, I played Bratz with Laura D. So this
Brack
is the
time.
Yeah, I spelled it Brack, yeah. With Laura D. So this is the other Laura. At literacy, we had to re-begin yesterday's work and add feelings to our letters.
What, so they'd gone, write a letter, and you'd all gone, dear sir, it is cold, my washing machine is functioning, and now it is bedtime. And they've gone, oh my god, we've raised robot children.
Yeah, oh look, all these horrible robot children. They need to, we need to add in emotions to them. At lunchtime, I played with the boys. We played football and basketball.
Fun.
Again, this was because I was in a feud with Polly and refused to play with her. And then I wrote, P.S. Polly owes me a chocolate bar.
You are just going and going. Did you ever think of going to Polly and going, hi, take my chocolate
I
bar?
I asked so many times. You have no idea.
One of those people was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, she was saying, I didn't take it, whatever. Mm. And I was like, I don't believe you. So I wasn't speaking to her. So this was Wednesday, the 28th of November. Dear Diary, this morning was boring. Miss G, who's no fun. We played nothing good at literacy. We did computer work. I had to work with Andrew and Jerome. Again, I changed the names.
Why? I am impressed that the first name you would think of in any context could be Jerome.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because Jerome, I used to have a list with my brother, and it was a list of... and I'm sorry to anyone called Jerome.
Yeah, it's a perfectly fine name.
It was a list of stupid names that we that we made based off of The Ersatz Elevator by Lemony Snicket.
Oh, what a good
We had
joke.
An audiobook.
Jerome! Yes!
Jerome. And in our book of stupid names was Klaus.
Yeah.
Jerome and Esme. Jerome hit Andrew 14 times on the back of the head this lunchtime.
Did Andrew, like, survive?
Yeah. This lunchtime, me and Polly, played with my emu puppet, which was fun.
Wow.
This afternoon, we dressed up as Victorian children. First, Miss L handed out 1p for us to pay. And on purpose, she missed out Sid so she could tell him off.
I remember these kinds of things.
Yeah. I got the cane 2 times today. Tuesday, the 4th of December. Please remember that I think this saga started on the 24th or 25th?
Yeah.
Dear Diary, today was okay. I went round Polly's house and we played Doctor Who.
Fun.
Then hide and seek. I told Polly that I'm still waiting for my chocolate. She said she will get it for me. I want to tell you how the saga of the chocolate bar concluded because I didn't write it in my diary.
All right.
What happened? Because I'd often go around Polly's house. What ended up happening was she said, well, Martha, I reckon you've probably eaten the equivalent of this massive chocolate bar at my house, because her mum used to always have little, like the little cake rolls with that are dipped in chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
She said, you've probably eaten the equivalent of it in
so
those.
So this is like owed to me now.
No, no. So she was like, so we're even. And I was like, actually, I think I get to decide if we're even, because I'm the wronged party. Like, I really went in on this and I've never forgiven her. Sunday the 7th of July 2013, I had some lunch and Martha and her dad came to pick me up. When we were there, me and Martha got there. Good. Claire met us at the door and then led us away. That sounded suspicious. In the study, she had laid loads of maps. Oh, this is me roasting you guys now. She had laid loads of maps on the small table in the room. We began looking at the maps, looking for a route for a fun expedition we want to go on in the summer holiday. We began looking at places in the Cotswolds, which I found really weird because that's miles away. Finally.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong. We were just like, the Cotswolds though.
Finally, I managed to convince Martha and Claire that it would be better to walk nearer to walk where we lived. Gosh, I'm illiterate. We found the OS map for where we live. We decided to walk near where we live. I would like trying not to give away too much about where we live. We are beginning at a church, I think, and ending at a park. We are going on the walk on the 16th and 17th of this month. I'm excited but nervous too. I don't think I'll get through this without laughing so much.
Give it a go.
During our route planning, after we moved the sofa, bearing in mind our friend had like fancy cloth sofas.
Her house is beautiful.
Martha was drinking her tea and she began to laugh. Next thing I knew, she was coughing and choking. Then she came to a contemporary account of this moment that's so pinnacle in our lives. Oh. Then she kind of just...
Try, you can do it, you can do it, I won't laugh.
Then she just kind of threw up in her hands and I was right next to her and it was horrific.
This is exactly how it happened. That's actually a very good retelling. I was laughing so much I started to choke on my tea and then threw up into my hands and my dress. Because I was wearing like this cute little sailor dress and I never really wore dresses, so I was feeling all fancy and feminine. And I had the forethought, while choking to the extent that I ejected what was in my digestive system, to go, oh, I don't want to get this on Claire's lovely carpet. So I sort of caught it in my hands and my dress. And then I don't know what have you written happens after this, because I know I have a perspective.
Yeah, I know. It's not a good example of our friendship. I think it was one of those things, you know, where you're choking and you're like, either I throw up or I die.
Yeah, that's what my body did. It had it because what I was choking on had to go or stay, and it went, and I'm glad it did.
Well, because like I had one time in third year at uni, I started choking on a mini egg. Oh. And I made the executive decision to just swallow it whole.
Yes, I've done that before. And I've also done it where it's like, I've half swallowed something and I've just regurgitated just that thing. It's not like sicky, but it's just like, okay, let's try that again.
Yeah, so. But with the mini egg, I was like, either I cough it out, which... Mm. I don't want to do because no one knows I'm choking and all of my housemates are in the hat, like in the room.
Or you just
if I just cough a mini egg onto the carpet, everyone's gonna be like, what the hell, Martha? So my other option was just to swallow it whole, which is what I went with.
I think that's sensible.
But I think with tea, which was your obstacle, it's a struggle because there's liquid, so it's not one.
God, this is so disgusting. Go on, finish the story.
Claire and I ran off to get a tissue. I couldn't help but retch a little bit. It was gross.
Oh, no, I'm well aware.
So, also to set the scene, Martha was sat on the sofa covering her vomit. And I was on the floor, eye height with your lap. So, like, I was so close.
Honestly, that would have been the worst thing ever, to be fair to what?
Claire handed her tissues and led her to the bathroom.
That is not what happened. You have tried to paint yourself in a better light.
Let me finish my account and then you can come in with your trot.
A scathing tale, yeah.
Claire handed her tissues and led her to the bathroom while I just wandered around trying not to puke too.
From my viewpoint, what happened was... I choked and threw up on myself, but managed to contain it to myself. Martha started going, oh.
No, I was going like,
yeah. She was making visceral noises.
I have such a strong stomach, but when it comes to vomit, I can't.
Yeah, and I completely appreciate that. And I was fine because all that happened was I choked. My point is, I hadn't, you know, thrown up out of illness or anything. I was perfectly cognizant of everything that was going on. I was just thinking, oh dear, what an inconvenience for everybody. Which again, it's like the little Martha in my previous writings being like, I must be the perfect child, has so continued. So I was like, Claire, could I just grab some tissues? So she kind of threw some tissues at me. and pointed to where the bathroom was.
Which is hard to find in her house.
Which is hard to find because it's a converted barn, so there's like different ways into everywhere. And then she and Martha went outside to give Martha some air. Well, I carried my vomit in my little dress and cleaned myself up in the bathroom and then came outside to tell them it was okay now.
No. Well, let me tell you the account that I have. Okay. Claire came back and we went outside. We played on the trampoline. We decided, because I think the difference though is, now I know that for a long time we've discussed, yes, it was wrong of Claire and I to prioritise looking after me because you're the one who'd thrown up. But to be fair, you had only nearly choked to death, whereas I was in imminent danger. Ill.
Mm.
So I agree.
And to be fair, if you'd been crowded around me trying to help, I would have just felt a bit embarrassed. Like, I was perfectly capable.
Well, not only that, Martha, but when I said that, not only that, Martha, but I would have also thrown up.
Mm.
So then
you did what felt best at the time, and I appreciate that.
We decided we should go and check that Martha was all right. She said she was. So I remember this. We crept up to the door where you were.
Oh, yeah.
And we sort of knocked and were like, Martha, is everything okay?
I remember, I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but you wouldn't open the door, which I was glad about, because if I saw you at that moment, I would have run past you to vomit.
The reason I wasn't, it wasn't gross. The reason I didn't open the door was because I had, like, my dress in the sink. I was in my pants.
No, I don't mean if I saw your vomit. Just if I saw you. It would have reminded me of the nightmare.
There's a reason this is a podcast, guys. You haven't been able to lay eyes on me since that day.
No, it was just at that moment. I don't know. It was...
No, I understand.
But the thing is like, I can deal with, like, any other thing. Have you got an Easter egg?
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't mind me.
Oh, my God. Post me some.
No, remember I've been... in my student house without any Easter facilities. So this is my Easter facility, just belated. Do a show on a book club. I just eat all of that chocolate. Just stay for days.
Stay awake for days?
No, just stay for days.
Stay where?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean stay for days? What does that mean?
Don't try and make sense of my words, Martha. Oh my God. Just stay, like, doing the book club and eating chocolate for days.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cool. As you were.
It's 3 and I've got to leave in 20 minutes. So let's get crack-a-lacking with the vomit tale and then we'll finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was. I should mention something else which happened before. Oh, this isn't about vomit anymore.
Mm.
Before this, Claire's mum made scones and cupcakes with sugar roses.
It was insane.
Claire
Martha
ate
and I were
one
like,
of them.
Oh.
Claire ate one of them. Then Martha said, sugar roses? I thought these only existed in fairy tales.
I did.
Claire and me looked at each other, panicked, and Claire asked her mum if they were edible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Martha turned out fine, and we finished the route card and map, which was good.
Brilliant.
We went to the garden and played tag. We had lots of fun running around and laughing. But then as I collapsed on the ground from running around in the heat, and I looked over to the side, and sat on this gross, nasty bug smiling at me.
The involuntary euthanasia bug!
Yes! It was massive and had holes in its shell and head, but it was still moving its legs around. Claire and me decided it would be much kinder to kill the bug. Claire went to get a brick. She smashed it and it died. And then she carried it in a leaf to the bug graveyard, which she had buried animals before.
What had she buried? I don't remember that.
Wednesday, the 17th of July, 2013. On Tuesday, Martha's dad came and picked me and my stuff up at about 8 p.m. He drove us to Claire's house. We slept there that night and we started by trying to sleep on the floor. But then after a few hours of us failing to sleep, I suggested we all slept in Claire's bed because she has a massive double bed. We had to clear her stuff off the bed, which Martha had earlier thought was a corpse on the bed.
Naturally.
We slept much better after that. Well, I did. I think I disturbed Claire.
I didn't sleep, like, pretty much at all that night. I remember this. This was the night when I ended up kneeling on the floor with my head on the bed. because Martha, I don't know if you still do, but starfished used to be her method of sleeping. And Claire used to grind her teeth in her sleep to make a shrieking sound, and she also liked to sing herself to sleep. And I don't know if she thought we could near her, which obviously we could because she was singing. But it's just really weird. And I ended up being pushed off the bed to the extent that I was just kneeling on the floor with my head kind of on the side of the mattress, like.
On the way down the stairs, I fell and slid down 5 steps and landed hard on my bum. It really hurt.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember that, and I remember the rest of the walk, like, being like, feeling it. Ouch.
Hey.
I made a video diary of our actual walk. It was really fun. At the campsite, Claire's mum, who'd driven there, in her car, carrying all the heavy stuff. And then I haven't finished the sentence. The sun was boiling hot and we stopped in the shade of a tree in a sheep field and played cards.
That was so good.
At the camp, oh gosh, at the camp we poured meths onto the boiling pot, which we weren't able to get the lid off for ages. And Martha got too enthusiastic and thrust the match onto them before we'd put the pot where we wanted it. Then the flames caught fire to the grass, which was brown and dry because of the heat. The grass set fire, so I poured water on the grass. We had loads of pasta and cookies.
I in all of my being incredibly overcautious to please people, I also have a habit of just being really enthusiastic and going, "Woohoo!" and just causing absolute mayhem.
Yes. Havoc. Because I remember also the fire was burning so hot that we couldn't see it sometimes. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
so
it was like
we thought we'd put the whole fire out and then we'd be like, oh, that's fire. I thought the tent was going to be super boiling, but it was actually fine. We chatted, but we were all so, and then I've written fire, but I meant tired, but clearly I'm traumatized. We set off at 7:30, and on the way across the race course, we camped next to the sprinklers got us.
Ah, yes.
Claire and I were all right, but Martha got completely drenched. You just come off in this like such a mess.
But the thing is, that's kind of like, I feel like I either come off as really competent or a complete moron. And there's not really any in between.
At lunch, we loitered under a tree across from a restaurant. We ate lunch and then Claire and I went to the restaurant. A snooty woman pranced out and asked us if we needed any help. Could we please use your toilet because we've been walking for days? Claire asked, being really polite. The woman looked at us as though we had asked to whip her around the face with a mouldy octopus's socks. I think the youth hostel will be more suited to your needs. We went to the youth hostel and there was a man there called Steve. He was super friendly and sweet.
Oh, Steve!
He went to the toilet. Yes, yeah, Steve.
He was lovely.
When we finally reached the park, Claire bought us ice creams. Claire's mum picked us up and took us back to Claire's.
That's so nice. I miss that.
Yeah, wasn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm glad you read that out. Sort of reminded me of all the minutiae of our little walk. So that's some of our literary pursuits when we were a little bit younger than we are now. Let us know if you think we've changed at all. I really hope I have, because my god, that year 5 book.
We hope you enjoyed the Other Marthas podcast, the show where a drama student and a film graduate talk about things we're not qualified to discuss. If you enjoyed hearing us talk about things we have no idea about, then please do subscribe for our channel for us to irritate you further.